with the curtain, on with the show. Ring up the curtain and turn the lights low. Everything is ready for the show. Let's go.
And good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Musical Theatre Melodies, a program which comes to you over the airwaves of 96.5 Inner FM every Tuesday evening between the hours of 9 and 11 p.m, hosted by yours truly, Rob Morrison. And welcome to any international or interstate listeners we may have listening in via the World Wide Web. My featured musical this evening is Jekyll and Hyde, the gothic musical thriller, and we shall be listening to the 1994 Los Angeles studio concept cast recording, starring our very own Anthony Warlow in the title role of Jekyll and Hyde, which had a musical score by Frank Wildhorn and book and lyrics by Leslie Brickus. And now it's my very great pleasure to welcome back to the airwaves of 96.5 Inner FM the Academy, Grammy and Ivor Novello award-winning composer, lyricist, librettist and screenwriter, Leslie Brickus, speaking to us all the way from London. Good morning to you, Leslie.
How are you, Rob? Good to talk to you again.
I'm doing well indeed. And good to talk to you too about another gothic thriller following on from Sherlock Holmes. Indeed, the original concept production dated back to 1990, but were you involved in it from the beginning?
Well, not from the very beginning, in the sense that when it was brought to me, it had been a draft of the show had been written with Frank Wildhorn composing and another collaborator, which they had written when they were at university, USC, the University of Southern California in Los Angeles.
Yes.
And a Broadway producer friend of mine, Hillard Elkins, who was a fabulous character in the business. I met him when he was Steve McQueen's agent in the 1960s.
Oh, okay.
And he was with the William Morris office, and he produced a number of Broadway shows, including a couple starring my pal Sammy Davis Jr., which is how we got to know each other.
Yes.
And he called me one day in 1989 and said, there's this very talented young composer, hot out of college, who's written a very interesting score, and he doesn't quite know what to do with it. So he brought Frank Wildhorn over to my house in L.A. and gave me a tape. We were leaving for Mexico the next morning, so I took the tape with me and promptly forgot all about it.
Mm-hmm.
And about 2 weeks later, I saw this thing sitting on my desk down there, and I popped it onto the machine and was blown away by how good the music was. The music was as good as the lyrics were bad. and I realized why Hilly had brought it to me.
Yes, yes.
So when I got back to L.A., I contacted them, and I met with Frank again, and we figured out how to go back to the beginning. I said you'd have to go back and start again, as opposed to trying to make something out of the present mess.
Yes, yes.
So over the following months, we did that, and a year later, we opened the show initially at the Alley Theater in Houston, Texas, in the early summer of 1990.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a long time ago, my God.
Indeed.
Anyway, that's how it began.
Ah, great. And of course, based on the novella by Robert Louis Stevenson, and as I mentioned to you off air, Stevenson was a distant relation of mine. He was my maternal great-grandmother's second cousin.
I'm very impressed by that.
Well, not that they ever met. He did visit Australia, but only got as far as Sydney before he eventually settled in Samoa during his later life.
Well, maybe you should get some of the royalties.
Oh, I think I'm a bit too far off the family tree to get very much at all. But, of course, his novella was very straightforward, and, of course, it has been adapted and elaborated over the years. I think the first stage production in 1880 sort of added a love interest for Dr. Jekyll, and then, of course, the Frederick March version introduced a sort of other romantic interest for Hyde in a prostitute, and I guess every version since then has embroidered and elaborated on the story.
Yes, Frederick March won the Oscar for the movie of Jekyll and Hyde. I think it was 1933.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only time there has been a tie for the best for the Oscar. Two actors. I think Wallace Beery was the other one. And they got the same number of votes, so they each got an Oscar. which happened again with actresses in 1968 when Katharine Hepburn and Barbara Streisand tied. That's pretty rare, but it has happened those two times.
Indeed, yes. And, of course, that Frederick March version, I think, was the only one which used the original Scottish pronunciation of Jekyll, Dr. Jekyll.
That's right.
And ever since then, it's...
Yes.
Ever since then, it's been Jekyll.
It's never been used again.
No. So what state had the story it existed in before you adapted the libretto yourself?
Well, that began when I met him. That's where we had to go back to the beginning and start again, and that's what took the year, because it was not through composed totally, like an Andrew Lloyd Webber show. It was probably 75% lyrics and 25% book. And it changed a lot as the thing evolved. It's one of those shows where you can go on evolving it. The famous Larry Gelbart line, you never finish a musical, you just stop working on it. So Jekyll has had a number of different versions over the years, but it took 3 more years to get it to Broadway. 4 more years, actually. Yes, 4 more years. We ended up finally, after national tours and all sorts of things, at the Plymouth Theatre in New York, where it ran for 4 years, so it worked out pretty well in the end. And there have been productions all over the planet ever since, I'm happy to say.
Indeed, yes.
And it goes on, which is nice.
And tonight we shall be listening to the 1994 concept recording featuring our very own Anthony Warlow. Where did you first view Anthony and think that he would be suitable for the title roles?
Well, I met Anthony in Australia in 1993 when we were opening Scrooge down there with Keith Michelle.
Yes.
And his fabulous voice. He and Linda Edder, who played Lucy, the lead female in the show, and eventually married Frank Wildhorn. She has probably the best voice since Barbara Streisand, Linda Edder, and she and Anthony Warlow together were more than anyone has a right to ask for. They were both sublime, as your audience will hear this evening.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose that begs the question, has Anthony ever been approached to play the roles on stage?
Yes, at the time. You may remember that many years ago, Anthony had a slight cancer problem.
Indeed, yes.
And he and his wife, quite rightly, did not want him to take on something as arduous as Jekyll and Hyde 8 times a week. So that's why it never happened, but at least we've got it preserved in that double CD. The recording was actually 2 CDs. It was 2 hours long. It's the whole score, and it's the best recording we have.
Yes, and of course that gave you the luxury to compose much more music than you would feature in a stage production.
Actually, that was all in the show. The show became, at that point, more music. We were able to elongate and give full value to all the songs, so it did take up 2 CDs. I don't know what the actual running time is, but it's, as I say, we will never have a better recording than that. We've got over 30 different recordings from around the world, and that is number one without question.
Yes, and did it have a dialogue at that stage, or was it just going to be a through-sung piece?
No, it always had the dialogue, but it was there was a lot of dialogue. We ended up performing as recitative, so that they weren't songs, but they were recitative.
Yes, uh-huh. And then the project was further developed for Broadway, in which, of course, eliminated quite a number of songs from the concept recording and also wrote other songs, such as the various reprises of Facade.
Yes, as I say, it went on evolving forever. I don't think we put there will be... We're doing a version... We are hoping that we may end up in your part of the world in a year or so from now with a new production that's being prepared. And if we do, I will look forward to seeing you.
Ah, great. And I also notice in the notes here that there was a film version too planned for it.
Yes, there is. A producer friend of mine in Hollywood, Mike Medavoy, who's been involved and he's been head of various studios, and he is a wonderful producer who has been... involved in half a dozen Best Picture Oscars over a 40-year career. He said to me he would like to do Jekyll as a movie, and it would make a wonderful movie because it had a very good movie history early on. I mean, the one we talked about, Frederick March, for its era, 1930s, was very good, and then Spencer Tracy in the 1940s did a very good version where the transition from Jekyll and Hyde was done with a series of lap dissolves to show him transforming from Jekyll into Hyde. That was quite innovative at that time.
Indeed.
And that was also a success. But there hasn't been a major movie, unbelievably, since then. And that was like 1944, somewhere around there. So that's 70 years ago. And so Mike Medavoy still wants to make the movie, and hopefully the elements will you know, come in our favor in the next couple of years, because we've spent a lot of time talking about the movie, and it's a case of who do you cast. I had a number of meetings in New York when we were on Broadway with Hugh Jackman, who would be an ideal Jekyll. He was doing The Boy from Oz at the time,
so
that was a decade ago. And that's never happened. The dialogue goes on, but we haven't come in to land on anything that would actually make the film happen yet.
Yes.
Hopefully we will.
Indeed, and of course if he's appeared in the film version of Les Miserables too, in the lead role, so established himself, his credentials, I guess, both as a singer and an actor.
But we had all sorts of good ideas for casting. We wanted Beyoncé to play Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
And Scarlett Johansson to play the fiance Emma, because people forget what a good singer Scarlett Johansson is. She's a very talented lady, and that would be a pretty good trio, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman, Beyoncé, and Scarlett Johansson.
Yes, yes.
Would make any movie take off.
Indeed, I guess you have to walk that fine line between popular actors who, you know, are going to be box office, as they say, and also people who have the singing voices to be able to handle the music.
Yes, well, they would all be perfect casting. That's the sort of dream that writers have that seldom comes true.
Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned here, the musical is in a constant state of evolution. I noticed that in the last pre-Broadway tour and also Broadway production, it was given more of a rock feel with some of the instrumentation.
Yes, I personally hated that. They did a production which I did not like a couple of years ago, which was made up of American Idol winners, you know, those kind of singers.
Yes, yes.
Very good singers of their kind, but I felt it was alien to the character of the piece. This is a Victorian melodrama, and I hate it when singers, as our leading man did, before they hit a note, they start out above the note, and then they go below the note, and then after about half an hour, arrive on the note. And if you do it every time and every song, it becomes tedious.
Yes.
And it's not very musical, and rock and roll is not suited to Jekyll and Hyde. It's a traditional piece, and even though Frank's musical style is contemporary, it should be done that way and not varnished unnecessarily.
Yeah, indeed, yes. And of course there was the video production of Jekyll and Hyde starring the one and only David Hasselhoff, who I believe was the last to play the role on Broadway. And
lovely guy, David, on Broadway, it's very interesting because our producer said, well, we've got year five sewn up, but we've got David Hasselhoff, and the show died in a few weeks.
Oh.
I think if he'd gone on the road, he would have sold out everywhere, because big TV stars are great on the road, and New York looks down its very long nose sometimes at having TV stars on Broadway.
Yes, but I guess it was his name which helped to finance the video production of it, was it, with the production company?
I don't know how that came about, but it was done, and it's nice to have it. In a perfect world, I'd like to have had Anthony Waller do that, but you can't have everything you want.
Ah, well, fingers crossed, perhaps Anthony Waller might be available in the near future to play the role. He recently, of course, made his Broadway debut in the revival of Annie, playing Daddy Warbucks.
Yes, well, I saw him in New York a couple of years ago with the boiled egg head, you know, the Daddy Warbucks skin head. But he's a wonderful performer. The other show I've written with Frank Wildhorn is Cyrano de Bergerac. Anthony Wallow doing that would be a miraculous marriage, and I would like to feel that that could be a possibility, because although it's a great acting role and a singing role, it's not quite as arduous as Jekyll and Hyde, where you have to keep transforming from A to B and back again. I had two shows at once going like that. The other one was Victor Victoria. Julie Andrews, while Jekyll was constantly going backwards and forwards being Hyde, mm-hmm. Julie was being Victor and Victoria, a man, a woman, a man, a woman, all through the show. And she said the backstage work was much harder than the onstage work with all the costume changes. And she meant it. She said it was absolutely killing.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that was during that period that I believe Julie first developed her throat troubles.
Yes, it was. She did 18 months, and she had never in her entire career missed a performance. And she missed one, and a couple of weeks later she missed another one. Then she missed two, and that was quite an expensive show to run. So if you missed two performances and you only had six, You could still break even, but you couldn't make a profit.
Mm-hmm.
And it got worse and worse and worse, and eventually she had to have the treatment, and the treatment was disaster. It was not the cure everybody hoped. And she's fine now, but she's had to abandon the musical career that that made her so famous.
Yes.
She's the most wonderful human being on the planet. We love Jules.
Indeed. And, of course, we'll be paying tribute to Julie next month with Victor Victoria. And coincidentally, this year, of course, marks the 60th anniversary of her Broadway debut in Sandy Wilson's The Boyfriend.
Good God, is it really?
Indeed.
I met Julie when she was 22. I was doing a series of BBC interviews, and I interviewed her before she opened in London with My Fair Lady at the Savoy Hotel. She was staying there, and they gave her a little tiny single room. I mean, I imagined I was going up to this star suite to see her, and there's this tiny little room with a single bed in it, and I thought, my God, that's the no way to do it. They thought she was Eliza Doolittle before it happened.
Great. Oh, and I guess we best mentioned too that there was also the possibility that Anthony Wallow might have played the title role in your musical version of Dr. Doolittle, but that apparently didn't come to pass.
That is true. That was only recently, about a year ago. And I think it was because it's, again, quite an expensive show to mount. I had dinner a couple of nights ago with your lovely producer, John Frost, who's
yes.
over in London this week, and apparently they could not get together all the elements from the lovely London production we had some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They somehow got dispersed, and it would have only made sense in Australia if they could have assembled the animals and the special effects and the puppets and all the stuff we had to make it work.
Yes.
And that was part of the reason, I gather.
Oh, okay. Yeah, very unfortunate, I guess.
In the London production, Julie Andrews played Polynesia the parrot for me.
Uh-huh.
Did you know that?
Yes. I have the cast recording of it with Julie on it.
It happened at dinner one night, and we were talking about doing funny voices, and I said, well, if Angela Lansbury can play a teapot, you can play a parrot. And she said, that's fair, and did.
Was her dialogue pre-recorded, or did she do it live for so many performances?
No. She pre-recorded it here in London.
Uh-huh. So it was up to the sound operator to cue it in at the appropriate moment, I guess.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Leslie, for spending the time once again to talk about Jekyll and Hyde. And, of course, we'll be speaking to you next month in greater detail about Victor Victoria.
Okay, I have some stories to tell about that too.
Great.
Well, happy to talk to you, Rob.
And have a great day in sunny London, and we can but envy you here in wintry Melbourne.
Yes, London, California. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless to you too. Bye for now. And I've been speaking with the Academy, Grammy and Ivor Novello Award-winning composer, lyricist and screenwriter Leslie Brigus. Let's pause now in our program for some community service announcements before returning with tonight's presentation of Jekyll and Hyde the Musical with Anthony Wallow. You're listening to 96.5 Inner FM.